Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church of Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Vegas, welcome to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast. My name is John Racine with the Church at Las Vegas, and I wanted to start off by sharing this with you this morning. It's kind of a funny one-liner. Some people know more when you try to tell them something than when you ask them something. All right, I hope you haven't had too much experience with that, but I've been there and done that. Let me read it to you one more time. Some people know more when you're trying to tell them something than when you ask them something. And I'll tell you what, as people of character, as people that represent Christ, or really whether you did or not, just people of good character, when someone's talking, listen, okay? Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and certainly don't interrupt them every time you want to say something. Let them finish their thoughts and then go back and say, hey, you said this, let's talk about that. Or, you know, if you say, yeah, but I've just got to say what's on my mind right now or forget it. Well, start carrying around a little notebook pad with you, or get your phone out and take notes while you're having a conversation. It would impress the person a whole lot more if you would do that than if you're always rude and interrupting. And I hear that happen way too often. We don't give each other a chance to talk, but I just thought that was really funny. Some people know more when you try to tell them something than when you ask them something. So we need to be like James says, we need to humbly except the word planted in us, which can save us. So let's jump right into the Word of God this morning, which can certainly do that for us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you that we can be here this morning. Thank you that we can open up your Word. Thank you that your Word is living and active. God, it's not some old archaic history book, but Lord, it is your Word to mankind. And we're thankful that you've given it to us. And we know there's lots of people that doubt it. There's a lot of people that don't even care to open it and examine it. But God, thank you that you gave us that opportunity. And thank you that we know that it is your truth, God, so that we might know you, we might know each other better, that we might know Jesus, the author of our everlasting life. And we just ask you to bless this time that we study your word this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we ended last week in 1 Peter chapter 2. And remember, we were talking about the idea that if we're going to be a Christian in this society that we live in, we need to be different, okay? Not radically different, like, you know, drawing attention to ourselves crazy, but just that we don't continue to live on like we used to live on in the things that we did. Remember in verse 11, "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul." Okay, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits us. Remember, Jesus said, you know, the same thing in the Sermon on the Mount. Don't do your righteousness. Don't live your righteousness just so people can see you, but do it so that God will be honored. So that when people ask you, why do you live the way that you do? That you can give glory and credit to God and say, well, God saved me from the life I used to live. And I used to just give in to all of my desires. I just followed the crowd and just conformed to the pattern of this world. But now God's given me a different purpose, a different kind of life. And so we're to be people that live in such a way that it shows that we honor and fear and respect God. And remember this last time we talked about if we're going to suffer for doing good and endure it, then that's commendable before God. So if you suffer for doing the right thing and people persecute you, call you names, give you a hard time, if you lose business or relationships because of that, well, if you do that because you're trying to do the right thing, then that's commendable before God. And it goes on to say in verse 21, to this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Okay, now we can't literally follow in his steps, but it's the idea that as we learn about the life of Christ and the kind of man that he was and the kind of example that he set, then we should follow in those steps. And that certainly when we recognize that what Christ did was absolutely good, it was perfectly good, he committed no sin. And that's what Peter is telling them here. It's like, listen, if you suffer, remember Jesus suffered. In fact, Jesus told him that. If you want to be my followers, you know, you're going to have to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow after me daily. Because, hey, if the world persecutes me, then they're going to persecute you. And Paul wrote to Timothy and said, hey, anyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Because your goodness just, it condemns the world. It just, they flat out can't understand how you can be so kind and yet so bold and yet so compassionate and yet so, you know, absolutely convinced about certain truths of the Word of God. And so all of this is what we were called to because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. And I want to ask you this morning, are you following in his steps? You know, we sing a song at the church when we come together, when it says, you know, do you follow after Jesus? Are you walking in his footsteps? Are you always doing good? Do you follow after Jesus as sincerely as you should? And probably, you know, most of it can say, well, you know, it could use some work. Well, of course it could. But are you working on it? And somebody says, well, yeah, I'm really excited about my life in Christ and I'm passionate about it. And yeah, everything's good. And I am following Jesus sincerely. Well, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Just keep right on doing that and keep following in his steps. Like it says in verse 22, he committed no sin. No deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. You know, Jesus, when they persecuted him, when they mocked him, when they spat on him, when they questioned him and tried to get him to condemn himself, he made no threats. He didn't threaten them. And boy, he certainly had the power and the authority to do that, didn't he? That was his own creation. And yet, when he suffered, he made no threats. He entrusted himself to God who judges justly. In verse 24, it says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. Okay? How important it is to know that. That's the hope that's held out in the gospel. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. You know, there is such foolishness going on in the Christian religious world, to say the least, of people who claim to have a relationship with God and just go right on sinning. They just continue right on practicing the things that the world does. They don't fear God. They don't love Christ. They don't love the church. They're living in all kinds of immorality and worldly, ungodly ways, and yet, you know, they act like, oh, you know, I'm good. I'm saved by grace. I'm a Christian. That's not what the Bible teaches us. It says that Christ died so that we might die. Okay? He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. Friend, you cannot claim to be a Christian and go right on sinning willfully, rebelliously, with a I don't care, and you can't judge me, and nobody's going to tell me what to do. That's not what a Christian is. Being a Christian is humbling yourself before the Lord and doing what the Lord directs us to do, living in a way that's righteous, not continuing to live in our sin. In fact, in Romans chapter 6, let's jump back there for a minute. Romans chapter 6, there were those who were using this same argument even in the first century. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Now, that doesn't mean that you can't commit a sin. It doesn't mean that when you're not focused and you're not walking close to God and you're not really being careful about taking your thoughts captive and living, you know, in light of God and honoring God, that sure, you can give into the flesh. You can do things, say things, attitudes, and all kinds of things that are not godly. But it's not our practice any longer. We don't live in sin anymore. In fact, when we recognized we sin, we're sorry about it. We're just ashamed that we did that. And we ask God and say, God, we recognize that what we just did wasn't right. I'm sorry, and please help us to just keep pressing on. But those who have died to sin in Christ, how can we live in it any longer? And then he goes on to say in verse 3 of Romans 6, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Okay, so, you know, being baptized into Christ Jesus, being baptized into his death, this is when we die to sin. This is when we're crucified with Christ, if you were. And he goes on to say in verse 5, for if we have been united with him in a death like his, we'll certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Okay, God set us free. He forgave us. The penalty of sin was gone. He released us from the power of sin. He raised us up to walk in newness of life. He gave us his Holy Spirit. And so through the power of God, we now can walk in an overcoming way in the matter of the flesh. Not just giving into it, not just living into it. We've been freed from sin. And so he goes on to say in verse 8 of Romans 6, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. Okay? And he goes, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Okay? Do you count yourself dead to sin? Is it something that's that contemptible to you? That you say, listen, I am dead when it comes to sin. I am not going to let sin use me anymore for its wicked purposes, if we want to personify it a little bit. But it's the idea that we're to count ourselves dead to sin, but alive to God. We're to be more concerned about what God wants us to do, more pleased about what pleases God. And so he goes on to say in Romans 6 and verse 12, therefore do not let sin reign in your body so that you obey its evil desires. That this is something that God calls us to do. It's not something that God just, okay, I'm going to take away your desire to sin and you're never going to sin anymore. He's like, no. He says, we're not to let sin reign in our mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. God will help us. God will strengthen us. God always provides a way out. God's provided his word so that we can stand up under it. And Psalm 119 and verse 11, you know, or verse 9, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. And I've hidden your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. So yes, we can keep from sinning. We certainly can keep from living in it. And we can certainly minimize sin in our life. But we have to make sure we're not letting it reign in our mortal body. Verse 13, do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. You know, people that call themselves Christians just go right on sinning, just go right on, you know, being addicted to all kinds of drugs and tobacco and alcohol and whatever else. Video games, sex, whatever, food, okay? Some people are addicted to gossip and all kinds of other things. These are all things that we're not to participate anymore in. We're not to offer ourselves as instruments of wickedness. The only master that we're to have now is Jesus Christ, who has brought us from death to life. and we're to offer every part of ourselves to him as instruments of righteousness. So again, let me ask you a question. If I ask you, or even more importantly, if Jesus asks you, are you being an instrument of righteousness for me? What are you going to ask him? What are you going to answer him? What are you going to say about it? If we were able to take a look at your life, if you were able to look carefully at your life under a microscope, as it were, or an examination, would you recognize that you're offering your body as an instrument of wickedness or an instrument of righteousness? Okay. He says in verse 14, for sin shall no longer be your master because you're not under the law, but under grace. Okay. And grace teaches us to say no. Titus 2:11. Grace of God that appears brought salvation to all men. It teaches us to say no to worldliness and ungodliness and all those lustful, evil passions of the flesh. We're to make sure those don't reign in us anymore. We died to those things. How can we live in them any longer? Well, we can if we choose to, but that's a choice that doesn't please God. Jesus didn't die for you so you could go right on living in your sin. Jesus didn't die for me so you could go right on living in our sin. As you go back to our text in 1 Peter chapter 2, where he says, he himself, 1 Peter 2 and verse 24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. In other words, because Christ was willing to die on the cross, we can be raised up to walk in new spiritual life. We can have the hope that, hey, even in this life, if we have all kinds of problems with physical things in the flesh and sickness and illness and disease, that, you know what, through the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I'm going to have a new body someday to go with my new spirit. And I'm looking so forward to that, but it's by his wounds we have been healed. Verse 25 says, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. How much better it is, friends, to submit yourself to God and live as a righteous, God-fearing, God-honoring person in this world. Why everybody else just follows the crowd and jumps on the bandwagon, gets themselves caught up in all kinds of sorrow and grief and heartache and brokenness and everything else under the sun. People are looking for love in all the wrong places. They're looking for satisfaction in everything except where they can find satisfaction, and that's in Jesus Christ. People think that peace comes from lighting up a joint or snorting a line of Coke or whatever else, or drinking enough beer or some tutti-frutti drink or whatever. There's no lasting pleasure in any of those things. All they do is bring heartache and regret and hangovers and everything else. And so let's be people that say, I want to live as a child of light. I want to live as someone who's been brought from death to life. I want to live understanding and recognizing and honoring the one who bore my sins on his body or in his body. You know what? I've sinned enough. Jesus paid that penalty for me, and I want to be done with it. And it bothers me when I recognize my sin. And it bothers me when I'm not trying to rein it in and I say something I shouldn't, or I make a snarky comment that I shouldn't, or I'm not as compassionate as I ought to be. Or, you know, there's so many things that we can do if we're not careful. We need to walk very carefully as we go through this life, because life's short. What are we doing with our life? But how good it is when it says, you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Folks, I hope those of you that are listening, that are Christians, that you rejoice in that fact, that you were going astray, but now you've returned. And Jesus is the great shepherd. He's the great pastor. He's the great overseer of your souls. And you will make sure that it always stays that way. Jesus is our Lord, not ourselves. We want to do what Jesus wants us to do, not just what we're interested in doing. And balancing all of those things out so that we live a productive, God-honoring life in this world, that's what God's called to do. And he's given us everything that we need to do it. So the question becomes, are we doing it? If you're not, I want to invite you to start today. I mean, just make up your mind to say, hey, you know, if Jesus was willing to do that for me, I'm going to find out more about him. I want to know who he is. I want to know more in detail why he died on the cross. I want to know about how he bore my sins. I want to know all these things so that I can make a decision based on faith to say, I want to follow Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God who loved me and gave himself for me. Okay, that's nothing you can pray about. That's nothing you can just okay, I believe it. It's something that you need to learn about. It's something that you need to know so that you can say, hey, I'm making this as a decision of my faith, not anybody else's. I'm not going to just walk through what somebody told me to do. I want to know these things so that I can say, hey, I believe that he's the Christ too. Not because somebody else told me, but because I've searched it out and I am convinced that Jesus was the Lord of creation who laid down his life for us so that we might live and not die because of our sins. Man, there's so much good things to talk about in Christ. But let's take a break and listen to our first song this morning. This is by Hillsong. I am who you say I am. And it's so important to realize that, hey, as Christians, we belong to Christ, not ourselves. And we're here to honor him and not ourselves. And so let's take what the Bible says about us and let's believe it. And let's live like we believe it and understand it. Let's listen this morning.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free, who is free indeed. I'm a child. His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died.
We're back this morning. What a great song that is. I love to listen to that song and think about who I am in Christ and who he says I am. And I hope you do too. Hey, we're in 1 Peter chapter 3 now. And we're going to just take a little run at this. We're going to probably run out of time here pretty quick. But let's just take a little run at it right now, this week, and then we'll jump right back in next week. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1, he says, "Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to adorn themselves. They submitted themselves to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her Lord. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear." And then in verse 7 he says, "Husbands, in the same way be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers." Okay, so here's the section that Peter's writing that is talking about the practical aspects of this life in Christ. In other words, it's not just all about Christ and all about what Christ did and all about his sacrifice. That's the foundation. That's what we build our life on. But a huge part of our life for most of us is that we have a husband or a wife. Now, that's the godly ideal. In fact, that's the only ideal that really counts, because, you know, if it's other than that, it's not honoring of God. It's not something that God authorizes, and men can authorize all kinds of things, and they can pass laws for all kinds of things. But here's the thing. The scriptures make it very clear that there is a husband and there's a wife. And so in a husband and wife relationship, the wife, it says, in the same way, is to submit themselves to their own husbands. What do you mean in the same way? Well, in the same way as we submit to our Savior, in the same way as we submit ourselves to God because he has brought us from death to life, in the same way that we are to honor him and reverence him and recognize him as the authority in our life overall, well, wives are called to submit to their husbands. Now, again, guys, don't just look at this as, yeah, that's right. Okay, this is a section for wives, but verse 7 is very clear that husbands also have responsibilities, and we need to be very careful about those. And so this is a practical outworking of our faith in Jesus Christ. Wives, dealing with your husbands in a right way. Husbands, dealing with your wives in the right kind of way. And we're going to talk about that more next week, Lord willing. So you can chew on that, talk about it, and maybe do some little research if you want. It's a great topic. We're certainly not going to shy away from it. Hey, we're the Church of Las Vegas. We meet at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard, right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. And you can come join us if you'd like on Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, and also Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. Hey, I just remembered, we're not going to be having Sunday evening services this week. So not going to be able to come Sunday evening, but please come Sunday morning at 10:30, Wednesday evening at 7. And you can find out more about us online at thechurchatlasvegas.com. It's all one word, thechurchatlasvegas.com. And until next week, Lord willing, keep standing on the solid rock, the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Have a great week. God bless.